Welcome, ladies and members, please take your seats. Welcome to the Ways and Means Committee. Rosa, please call the roll.
Chair McLean.
Here.
Vice Chair Buchanan, excused. Majority Whip Lamarca.
Here.
Ranking Member Escalante.
Here.
Representatives Alvarez.
Here.
Bankson.
Here.
Barnaby.
Here.
Burfield.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Caruso.
Here.
Casello.
Here.
Dugan.
Here.
Fabricio.
Here.
Hart.
Here.
Holcomb.
Here.
Killebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
Rayner.
Here.
Roach, excused. Robinson. Roth.
Here.
Saroy.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Tant.
Here.
Valdez. A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Rosa. Please, ladies and gentlemen and members, please make sure to turn off all of your electronic devices. Members, I do want to take a point of privilege real quick because of my schedule today. I have some folks that are visiting from down in the district. I just wanted to be able to recognize them. They are from the Junior League of Florida, if any of you are familiar with that. The Junior League represents, there's 22 leagues in the state. There's about 11,000 members in the Junior League, and so I just wanted to be able to take a minute to say it's great to see you guys, and we're glad you're here. Welcome to the Florida House. Girls, that's what I said. Yeah, so yeah. Thank you for that. Members, we have four bills that we're going to hear this morning, and we'll start off with House Bill 113, Tax Collection and Sales by Representative Maney. Representative Maney, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair McLean, Vice Chair Lamarck, Ranking Member Escalante, and members of the committee. I've got two bills today. This first one is a simple bill, House Bill 113. It deals with tax sales, tax certificates, tax deeds, and it's really pretty simple. It really is has two main components. One is relief for impecunious taxpayers. The law provides currently that taxpayers who can't pay their tax bill in full can pay it in increments. But the current law says if you pay it in increments, you have to pay a $10 fee to the tax collector for the processing of that partial payment. After the hurricane a year or so ago, the governor said he didn't want people who were worrying about fixing their property and short of money to be worrying about paying a $10 fee, so the governor said waive it. This bill will codify that, waive it for all taxpayers who have to make partial payments. So poor taxpayers will not be penalized by having to make partial payments. The other part of the bill just standardizes processes around the state, both on what's on the list that the tax collector has to send where they can't collect taxes. At that time, somebody's in bankruptcy and the federal automatic stays in effect, that sort of thing. The other part of it talks about how tax certificates that are not redeemed initially, it makes all tax collectors treat it the same as far as the interest rate that's assessed. Mr. Chairman, that's the bill.
Thank you, Representative Maney, for that explanation. Are there questions on the bill? Representative Hart, you are recognized.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Rep, are you saying that the interest rates around the state of Florida are different in every one of our various counties?
You're recognized.
Not exactly. The interest rates may be different on every tax certificate. When taxes are not paid, the tax collector advertises it. They conduct an auction. They start at 18% and bid down. So what this bill addresses is if representative buys a tax certificate on a specific piece of property, and the next year that property still doesn't have taxes paid on it, and Representative Tant buys a tax certificate on that property, she would have to pay both years' taxes and associated fees, the advertising fee and all that kind of stuff. And I don't mean to be pointing to y'all. It could be anybody.
Yeah, it was her.
But if Representative Tant then decided, nah, I don't want to buy it this year. Some tax collectors then increase the interest rate to 18%. Some tax collectors use the 5% minimum interest rate, but we don't want to encourage investors to the goal of selling tax certificates is to get the money to the government. So we don't want to encourage investors to say, oh, I'll buy it, and then back out so they can get a lower interest rate. So that's what it addresses.
You recognize for a follow-up.
My question really was just that we're trying to give an interest rate across the board, the same one. Is that what your bill is going to do, is to make it equal?
You recognize.
Thank you for the question. It would be the same one for people in the kind of circumstance that I described. Yes, ma'am.
Representative Roth, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair. Obviously, I'm always in favor of trying to lower people's taxes, but there isn't probably an unintended consequences of that. Is there anybody come to you that's opposed to this legislation or that's going to have a negative impact on some of our rural counties? I mean, what's the negative?
You're recognized.
Well, thanks for the question. I'm not aware of any negative, and nobody has come to me with even a concern, whether it's from an association or a county government. Actually, the president of the Tax Collectors Association is from a relatively small county. It has an urban area, but they also have a lot of rural.
Members, any questions? Any questions? Seeing none, there are no amendments. There is some public testimony. Tim Qualls, Florida Tax Collectors Association. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate that. That was all of the public testimony. Members, we are in debate on the bill. Is there debate on the bill? Seeing none. Representative Valdez, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you very much, Chairman Kane, and thank you very much for bringing forward this bill. You know, $10, people might think that $10 is just $10, but to senior citizens that are on fixed income, $10 could mean a meal. So I'm glad to support this. Thank you.
Representative Tant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for bringing this bill, Representative. I spoke with my tax collector. This is a bill she strongly supports, and I just want to say thank you. So I'm going to be sending a co-sponsor request. So thank you.
Debate? Seeing no debate, Representative, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Wave closed, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Maney, having closed on his bill, Rosa, please call the roll.
Chair McClain.
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan. LaMarca.
Yes.
Ranking Member Escomani.
Yes.
Representatives Alvarez.
Yes.
Bankson.
Yes.
Barnaby.
Yes.
Burfield.
Yes.
Campbell.
Yes.
Caruso.
Yes.
Costello.
Yes.
Duggan.
Yes.
Fabricio.
Yes.
Hart.
Yes.
Holcomb.
Yes.
Killebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
Rayner. Roach. Robinson.
Yes.
Roth.
Yes.
Saroy.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Tant.
Yes.
Valdez.
Yes.
21 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, we will show House Bill 113 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, moving on to the Representative Maney show, House Bill 823, North Okaloosa Fire District. Representative Maney, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. After the controversy of the last bill, I'm pleased to present this bill. The North Okaloosa Fire District is an independent district in the state of Florida. They have had a referendum on the issue of whether they should assess impact fees. Referendum passed. They've advertised the entire Okaloosa delegation, of which I'm chair, voted to support this request to allow this district to impose impact fees to fund equipment and structures, not personnel. That's the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Maney, for the explanation. Member, other questions on the bill? Questions? Representative Crusoe, you're recognized in question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Rep. Question, they actually voted to raise their own taxes?
They voted to establish an impact assessment.
Okay, thank you.
Well, the impact fees, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
You recognize.
Sorry, I started without your permission.
That's all right.
The impact fees are paid on new construction. So people who have, for instance, a single-family residence on a quarter-acre lot, they're not going to be paying an impact fee. But if you go in and put a subdivision, that's new construction, and those people will pay an impact fee. So it's designed to help fund the infrastructure needs occasioned by development.
Members in question, any questions? Any other questions? All right, seeing none, there are no amendments to the bill. There is no public testimony. Debate on the bill, members. Any debate? Seeing none, Representative Maney, you're recognized to close on your bill.
I won't joust with a CPA, Mr. Chairman. I'll wave close.
You're good.
Having closed on his bill, Rosa, please call the roll on House Bill 823 and announce the vote.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan? Majority Whip Lamarca?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escomine?
Yes.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes, ma'am.
Bankson?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Rayner? Roach? Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
21 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, we will show House Bill 823 reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee.
Yes, sir. Now, we'll move on to House Bill 479, Alternative Mobility Funding Systems, by Representative Robinson. Representative, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members, ranking member. This is the exact same bill that came through this committee last session and passed unanimously. I want to thank the chair for getting this bill up and in this right posture. This bill does four things. First, it defines mobility plan and mobility fee, which are undefined currently in statute. The second thing it does, it clarifies how proportionate share is applied. Third, it clarifies that the data used to set current impact fee must be based upon the most recent and localized information. And finally, it specifies that only the local government issuing the building permit may charge a transportation impact fee. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Representative Robinson, having explained his bill, members, are there questions on the bill? Questions? Representative Burfield, you're recognized in questions.
Thank you. And Representative Robinson, I'm sorry I didn't have an opportunity to get with you sooner, but you just said they may have the opportunity to charge. Is it may or are they required?
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you rephrase it? I know I said it, but by who do you mean in your question?
I'm sorry. So in the bill where it talks about the intent and the entitlement, it says that a local government that issues the building permit to collect for extrajudicial impact fees is the one that is required. So that it says required, you indicated may. I like may better than required. So I just wanted clarification.
Mr. Chair, in my bill, it's only the local government that can charge if they're issuing the building permit.
Okay, any questions? Representative Tant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do I understand correctly that there was a legal ruling that said that either the county could charge or the city could charge, and that they basically both were charging, so this clarifies that there's only one impact fee?
You're recognized.
That's correct.
Great, thank you.
Questions? Any other questions? Seeing none, there are no amendments. There is public testimony. Ashton Mears, Florida Home Builders Association. Thank you, Ashton. David Cruz, Florida League of Cities. Gonna speak. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, committee members. David Cruz of the Florida League of Cities. The League of Cities is in support of this bill today, and I hope that this committee can unanimously support this bill as it did last session when it came through this committee. The League of Cities thanks the sponsor for the amount of work he's put into this bill. We think it's a needed bill. I know when we're dealing with transportation concurrency, it's a confusing topic, but essentially I think the bill is needed because in 2013, the Florida legislature created an alternative system to collect impact fees called mobility funding systems. That law that passed in 2013 lacked clarity, and we feel this bill is needed because it brings that needed clarity. It brings clarity to cities and counties to understand that there's going to be one local government entity charging the developer for that impact. It brings clarity to our developer interest to have that confidence to come into a city and do a project knowing they're only going to get billed once for that project. And so we feel that that's important. We understand that there's probably over 200 cities in the state of Florida that don't charge an impact fee right now. And some of the opponents to this bill might feel that that's an impediment to this bill and that that's the reason we shouldn't pass this bill. This bill simply says in that scenario, a city and a county can have an interlocal agreement to address that concern. And so if a city's not charging an impact fee but the county is, a simple interlocal agreement between the city and the county where the city will collect the county's fee for them would address that scenario. And so because of those reasons, the League of Cities supports the bill. We thank the sponsor. Happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chair.
David, thank you for your testimony this morning. Bob McKee, Florida Association of Counties.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I am Bob McKee with the Florida Association of Counties. We do first want to thank the sponsor for working with us. He continues to hear our concerns. We do continue to be concerned about this language. It is particularly focused on the concern about the language about only the entity issuing the building permit can charge. I think it's important to understand that word charge. It then goes on further and says that only the entity, but that entity has a requirement to collect and account for any extra jurisdictional impacts. We are concerned that the setting up a situation, I know Mr. Cruz just said that collecting another's fee charged by a different entity he believes would meet the requirements of law. We are concerned that that's not the case, that the word charge is very specific to the entity issuing the building permit, and so we are not comfortable that the scenario that was just laid out would in fact be allowed under this language. We are concerned because our transportation systems transcend cities. The county road system, counties provide 60% of the centerline miles in the state. That includes the state roads. We are the skeleton of the state transportation system. It's important to remember that transportation systems do more than simply move people around. They also move goods, freight. They allow commerce to take place. And so roads will remain necessary to get goods and to allow commerce to continue. We're concerned that this language puts the funding into the mode and looks away from getting people between and goods between the modes. But we go back to the issue of the 200 cities. We think the way that the law would operate, that we understand this language to operate, is that they would be required to collect and account for any extra jurisdictional impacts without regards to whether they have imposed a fee or not. It creates an obligation. We think it creates an obligation county to county, potentially, on borders. If development happens near a border, the county across the border could claim extra jurisdictional impacts and seek to have those impacts offset. Issues that are not happening today. Today, there are cities and counties have worked this out in many different ways around the state. We have areas like Hillsborough County where Hillsborough only charges their transportation or mobility fee, in the unincorporated area and not within the city limits. Orange County and the cities within it have a similar arrangement. In Seminole County, they have worked out an arrangement between the county and the city of Altamont Springs where Altamont Springs does the projects that the county had. We do not think that there is one answer for this. There are many different ways to make this work in the state of Florida, and we think that's important. But we are concerned that, again, going back to that border issue, that where the dollars will come to pay for these extra jurisdictional impacts. We are somewhat confused by the developer support on it because we know who at the end of the day will pay the fees. I'll be happy to take any questions. We do stand opposed.
Thank you for your comments, Bob. Does anybody have a question? Representative Tant, you're recognized.
Chair, so does that mean that, does this bill preclude counties and cities from working out interlocal agreements if it's passed today?
You're recognized.
Well, I mean, this is, of course, Mr. Chair, today is just one stop. It would have to pass both chambers to become law. But yes, it does point to interlocal agreements, but it sets up a system that we don't think is balanced as far as the ability to move forward. We have examples where, again, there's a situation in court that has been an ongoing dispute between a city and a county where there isn't an interlocal agreement. But the parties, as we understand it, aren't respecting the agreement.
You're recognized for a follow-up.
Thank you. In this respect of the city and the county that are disputing, are they both charging the fee?
That is my understanding, that they are both charging the fee, yes.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. I only have two left, and then I'll be gone.
You're fine.
Is it your position that only the county should charge the fee?
No.
Final question. Mm-hmm. Are you working with the League of Cities and with us and with the sponsor to address your issues to get, and can we get there from here? Are we going to resolve this?
Wherever possible, it's always our preference to work things out outside the legislative process and come to you with solutions. That is always our preference, but we always stand ready to work towards good policy going forward for the citizens of the state of Florida. We understand that if something's going to pass, it needs to be something that will ultimately serve the citizens, serve the development community, and work. And so we stand ready to work to make things work. Yes.
Okay. Bob, thank you for your comments this morning. Louis Rotundo. Thank you. Gary Hunter, Association of Florida Community Developers. Thank you, Gary. Mark Jeffries, Orange County. Thank you. That is all of the public testimony that we have on the bill. Members, we are in debate on the bill. Any debate? Representative Tant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Typically, I support my counties and my cities, but I'm very concerned that we have two entities charging the same fee. I don't think that's good for our taxpayers. I also don't think that is good policy for us to support. So I have confidence in the sponsor of this bill and the League of Cities and the counties to work together on this. I'm going to be up on this bill today, and I urge others to do the same. But I do. I just don't think that entity should be charging consumers the same fee. I have a problem with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Tant. Members, we're going to back up for just a second. I apologize. I missed a card. I'm sorry. Please come up. Yeah, come up and I'm sorry to do this to you. But is it Casey Denny? Oh, I'm sorry, Casey. I'm sorry, Casey. We missed that. Casey Denny, Palm Beach County. Wait, thank you. Sorry about that. Okay, now we'll go back to debate. Thank you, Representative Tant, for your debate. Is there other debate? Representative Killebrew, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's unusual, again, that the cities and the counties are on the opposite ends of these things, but I think they're working towards a good end. I would hope that the bill sponsor would work with the Association of Counties and the League to come up with something that, as Rep. Tant said, that seems to be a little more fair, but I'm up on the bill today.
Thank you, Representative Killebrew. Any other debate? Representative Duggan, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For 2 weeks in a row now, we've had representatives of the counties come up and essentially say, where's our money? Last week, it was Representative Vice Chair Buchanan's homestead exemption increase bill. You heard today that the representative of the county saying, make the cities charge a fee, for, you know, taking away their discretion. So again, I will renew my comment that I made last week, which is perhaps we need to look at the expense side of the ledger rather than the revenue side of the ledger. There's no mandate that we have 67 counties. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Debate, members, any debate? Ranking Member Escamani, you're recognized. That sparked a thought process, I can see.
Thank you so much, Chair. I just want to say thank you to all the stakeholders that came and spoke today, and I want to echo Representative Tant that I trust the bill sponsor to continue working with the colleagues to figure this out. And I do think that any effort to try to also incentivize other forms of transit is a priority, I know, for many of my cities and more urban areas. So I'll be supporting it, but I do look forward to the watching Representative Robinson, who is such a king in collaboration, figure this one out. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ranking Member. In debate, members. All right, seeing none, Representative Robinson, you are recognized. Close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know about the king of collaboration, but when I started this bill, I think this is the third session I've run this bill, I asked all the stakeholders to go in a room and let's just ferret out all the issues, and that room was filled with maybe 40 people. And so we've whittled it down, you all know me. I'll continue to work on these last couple issues, and hopefully we can get to a product that everyone can support. But it's all about the one fee that Representative Tant was talking about. I just, one fee and enter into a local agreement, and the parties can figure out how to best divvy that up. That's where I'm coming from in this bill, and I ask for your favorable support. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Robinson, having closed on his bill, Rosa, please call the roll on House Bill 479.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan? Ranking Member LaMarca?
Yes.
Majority Whip LaMarca? Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Rayner? Roach? Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
21 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote on House Bill 479, we'll show it reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Robinson.
Thank you all.
Members, now we'll move on to the final bill that we'll have up for consideration this morning. It's House Bill 7013, Special Districts, by Representative Persons Malika. Members, there is a fairly lengthy strike all for this bill. I'm going to allow her just to go straight to the strike all. I think the bill is I think the part of it is still the same. Obviously details are what are being worked out at this point, and so I'm just going to let her go straight to the strike all and explain that. So you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, Ranking Member, members, it's a pleasure to be before you to present House Bill 7013. I am going to start with the strike all, and then I will end by reiterating the parts of the underlying bill that remain in the strike all. Members, this bill seeks to provide increased oversight, transparency, and accountability for special districts generally. And the strike all amendment seeks to address concerns raised during the committee hearing process. The strike all removes the requirement that voters reauthorize independent special districts that levy ad valorem taxes. The strike all removes the requirement that a district be declared inactive for having unresolved audit findings for 3 consecutive audit reports. The strike all also clarifies that districts declared inactive may continue to expend funds as necessary to meet the requirements of bond covenants and other contractual obligations. Additionally, the strike all provides that the boundaries of an independent special district may only be changed by an act of the legislature, except for community development districts. The strike all also reduces the maximum ad valorem millage rate that may be levied by a mosquito control district from 10 mills to 1 mill. The strike all maintains the following provisions from the underlying bill. It revises the criteria for declaring a special district inactive to include independent special districts and community redevelopment districts that have reported no revenue, no expenditure, and no debt for at least 5 consecutive fiscal years. The bill establishes a 12-year term limit for elected special district governing body members that would apply prospectively, commencing with the 2024 general election. The bill requires all special districts to adopt goals and objectives as well as performance measures in order to assess if the district is achieving its goals. The bill makes a series of reforms relating to specific types of special districts, including prohibiting the creation of new neighborhood improvement districts and requiring existing neighborhood improvement districts to be reviewed by the Office of Program Policy and Government Accountability by September 30th, 2025. It requires the petition to create a community development district to contain an affidavit that the development will include sufficient residential units to ensure eventual conversion to a popularly elected board. The bill requires independent fire control districts to annually certify to the state fire marshal as to whether the professional and volunteer firefighters that serve the district have met training and employment requirements. And the bill requires mosquito control districts to maintain state approval and provides that the district may be declared inactive for failure to do so. Members, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative, for that explanation. Members, we are on the amendment, technically, just remember that, but we are on the amendment. So are there questions on the amendment? Representative Valdez, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and good morning, Representative. So I have the airport in my district. We also have Port Tampa in our area. Are these entities exempt from this bill?
Recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill impacts all special districts, and it depends what part of the bill as to which type of special district would be impacted. The major concern that we heard from stakeholders and out of the committee process was the voter reauthorization piece and which districts would be included and which would not. But we've removed that part completely from this bill. All special districts would be required to come up with their own goals and objectives and annually report how they're doing and meeting those goals on their website. And any boards that are elected would be subject to the 12-year term limit. And the inactive provisions would apply to all special districts as well.
Some follow-up question?
You're recognized for a follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for that answer. So why are we exempting the community development districts?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We are not exempting community development districts from the entirety of the bill. There are certain provisions. Let's talk about term limits. In this case, a community development district is a very unique animal. It's created at the local level, usually by a developer that comes forward, says, I have this project I want to develop, and I want to create a CDD to help finance and pay for the infrastructure so that the government and other taxpayers aren't burdened with that cost. So they put the CDD in place, and then folks come in and buy properties within that CDD, knowing it's in place. At first, you have a board designated by the creator of the CDD, and then at some point, when there's enough electors, if it's 5,000 acres or less, 250 electors, there's a turnover conversion. So to have term limits apply to CDDs didn't make sense because of the unique creature that a CDD is.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Talk to me about mosquitoes. What's up with that mosquito district? That we're actually naming them in a bill. What's going on with mosquito districts?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative.
To talk about mosquitoes.
Thank you, Representative, for your great question. You know, we have a lot of mosquitoes in Southwest Florida. Actually, have two mosquito districts in Lee County.
They need to go.
You know, statewide, we have 18 mosquito control districts, and 15 of those are independent districts. They actually have specific statutes that apply to mosquito districts in our statutes. We prohibit the new creation of mosquito control districts, but those that existed prior to, I think it was 1980, I apologize for not having the correct date, can continue. So they operate in some areas as independent districts, some operate as dependent districts. In other areas, the county provides those services. So here we're looking at all independent special districts. In the case of mosquito control districts, we found some opportunities. They have 10 mills on the books. 14 out of the 15 independent mosquito districts charge less than half a mill, and one charges one mill, and that's the maximum authorized under their special act anyways. So we looked for an opportunity to provide some greater transparency, accountability on taxpayer dollars for those districts.
Representative Hart, you're recognized for a question. I'm sorry, I thought you did. I apologize. Representative Tant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a two-part question. Do I understand that this bill does not apply to fire districts, Children's Services Council, and CDDs? Is that correct?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill applies to all special districts.
So,
and there's different parts of the bill that exempt CDDs and stewardship districts from its application. But the bill as a whole applies to all of our special districts. Yes, there's fire control, mosquito hospital districts, children's services districts, all in looking at a way, you know, we have almost 2,000 special districts in the state of Florida. How can we ensure that we're putting in place the necessary oversight and accountability? Because the majority of them are all great actors, but occasionally you have some that no longer serve their purpose.
You're recognized.
Follow-up. Thank you, Mr. Chair. In respect to the neighborhood improvement districts or safe neighborhood improvement districts, I'm not asking because I'm opposed. I just don't. Why? What is your concern with those that you're stopping new ones of those? I have a crime watch in my area, so that's why I'm asking.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. In the state, there's right now 21 neighborhood improvement districts. The majority of those were created by local government. These districts can charge, it has to go to referendum, but they can levy up to an additional 2 mills. So we want to take a look at that, pause the creation of any new ones, stop that, and then we put in place to charge APAGA with doing a performance review of those that are existing.
You're welcome. Representative Roth for a question.
Thank you, Chairman. I have a couple of questions, sir. First one, I think it deserves an explanation, Representative, why a portion of this bill is dealing with safe neighborhood improvement districts. I represent an unincorporated area of Palm Beach County, which an improvement district that has looked to maybe doing some safe neighborhood things to protect itself from pass-through transportation from one area to another, so they wanted to restrict traffic flow. Why in general are you prohibiting any more safe neighborhood districts? What's the reason?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative. And I do want to mention to the committee, and maybe I'll hear from some safe neighborhood improvement districts, but I haven't heard from one to date with concerns. And again, it comes back to that additional ad valorem. So in addition, and safe neighborhood districts can be created by not only local governments, but HOAs, a CRA, and so forth. But it's that additional 2 mills that I want to put a stop to the creation of new ones, and we haven't seen any arguments that new ones should be permitted to continue to be created. And I think what's important is having those performance reviews so we can see what the existing ones are doing and potentially take another look at it. But right now the bill is proposing, you know, they could charge an extra 2 mills. Some of them can, if they go to referendum, can charge assessments. It's an overlap with a lot of the functions that the municipality and county already provide. And we have a lot of districts on the book, and that was part of taking a hard look at all of them, and that one jumped out at me.
You're recognized for a follow-up.
Thank you. On a different subject, I'll make a comment first. I like line 25 of the amendment.
Representative Roth, why don't we save comment for debate and ask questions, please?
Okay, the question is, following up on Representative Valdez, to me it does seem a little odd that we are allowing CDDs to continue to be able to be converted to a municipality, but we're not allowing, no longer allowing improvement districts. There is no real pathway other than just to pass a local bill. I just would like a little further understanding why a CDD should have a different opportunity than an improvement district.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Roth, it's my understanding that a CDD cannot just convert to a municipality without also coming back to the legislature for approval. So the intent was to ensure that any new municipality has to come back through the legislative process.
Whip Lamarca, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative, thank you for the time explaining a little bit of the amendment this morning, and I appreciate the language. Can you just clarify, if you would, I know on line 250 you're specifically dealing with a cap on mosquito control districts. Are there any changes to millage caps on any other special districts, healthcare, ports, things like that?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Whip Lamarca, for the question. Currently in statute, there is a cap on the millage that fire control independent special districts can charge, and that's 3.75. Often you'll see in the Implementing Special Act a restriction lower than that. I know many of our fire districts back home can only charge up to 3 mils via the Special Act. I believe those are the only two types of district that are currently capped in statutes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Caruso, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, Representative. And I wanted to first thank you for working with myself and other parties in my district that were concerned about the bill. One question, though. In part of the bill, you talk about by October 1st, a district must report how they've achieved their goals and objectives. And it says by October 1 of the year thereafter, of each year thereafter. I think it's line 255. And the question is, if a district has a year end of September 30, does that mean they have one day to file that goal and objective report, or do they have 366 days to file it?
You recognize the answer to that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
That's the CPA coming out any moment with that.
Thank you, Representative Caruso, for that question. And first, I'll just say I'm happy to continue looking at those dates to see what makes sense as this bill moves forward. The next stop will be at State Affairs. Before it can be ready to go to the floor. The thought and the requirement is by October 1st of this year, if you're an existing independent special district, that you have to adopt goals, objectives, and then the performance measures by which to measure those goals and objectives. And then the following October 1st, so October 1st, 2025, I remember what year we're in, 2025 would be when you publish on their website how they've done in meeting those goals and objectives. The thought with the October 1st was that's when they adopt and implement the budget for the next year. So as part of that process, they likely would be reviewing their goals and objectives and how they've done to meet those to be able to establish the next year's budget. So that's where we came up with October 1st. So it would all be at the same time, but I am happy to look at those dates.
Great. Look forward to working with you.
Representative Hart, you are recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I did not have one until I heard you say the word CRA. Can you tell me how this bill is going to impact CRAs, please?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. That's a great question. You know, CRAs are governed by a different chapter of Florida statutes as well, and we've the only thing we've done in this bill to impact CRAs is to align a provision as to when they're declared invalid, with a provision as to when we would declare all other special districts invalid. And that provision, and it's very similar to what's already in the CRA statute, is the one regarding, you know, if an independent special district and a CRA have reported no revenues, no expenditures, and no debts for at least 5 consecutive fiscal years, then the Department of Commerce can declare them invalid. And they all follow the same procedure, statutory procedure, regarding being declared invalid. And we actually increase the time from 21 to 30 days that somebody can file an objection to being declared invalid with the department.
Members, questions? Any more questions? All right. I'm sorry. Ranking member, you're recognized.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks for taking everyone's questions. Just the 12-year term limit, what brought you to that number? I'm curious. And what's the landscape right now of those who currently serve on these boards, or how long they've been there?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, ranking member. That's a great question. When we looked at the special districts across the state, some have 2-year terms, some have 3-year terms, and some have 4-year terms. So landing on a 12-year term limit made sense so that it could be applied to all the districts, regardless of whether they have 2, 3, or 4-year terms. And the 12-year term limit would not apply prospectively, so would not apply until this upcoming November election for anybody who's on the ballot then. And then the next time somebody's on the ballot after that, if they're not on the ballot this year, it would apply.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Questions, members? All right, seeing none. There are no amendments to the amendment. We are in public testimony on the amendment. I do have some appearance cards. Gene Rogers, South Trail Fire District. Greg DeWitt, Bonita Fire. Thank you. Jim Milliken, Ford Association of Special Districts.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. Thank you for recognizing us. Just want to say thank you very much to the bill sponsor for coming up with the strike call and curing the issue we had with the referendum revision that was in there. We appreciate that very much. There are a couple little things in there we'd like to speak to her about as far as tweaking, like, for instance, the training portion. That really should probably go towards volunteer firefighters. Firefighters, once they have a compliance certificate with the state of Florida, the state fire marshal's office has no more required training for those firefighters. That training is actually done by is required by ISO, which is 225 hours a year that each firefighter has to do, along with EMS training, which is required for your EMT or paramedic certification. So there is quite a bit of training that is done, just not at the required by the state level necessarily. But anyway, we're in support of the amendment very much, Spo. Thank you very much for that. Thank you.
Thank you. David Cambrary, I believe, Cambrary, the County Fire Chiefs Association. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, committee members. I just want to take the opportunity to thank the sponsor for her willingness to listen to our concerns of the initial bill, address those concerns. Removing that reauthorization is going to be helpful for us to have future planning. As Florida grows, we have to grow. It'll help us maintain, recruit our employees, keep our employees, and be able to deliver fire and emergency services to our community. So thank you very much for listening and helping, and we support the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Robert McDonald, South Trail Fire Protection. We have support. Thank you. That is all of the public testimony on the amendment. Members, is there debate on the amendment? Representative Roth, you're recognized in debate.
Yes, sir, Chair. Thank you. Bill, yes, and you can say that. Representative, thank you so much for this bill, and also I will echo some of those other concerns that thank you for the strike call. There were some parts in this original bill that was very aggressive towards improvement districts, and that's the comments I want to make in supporting this bill. While we did improve this bill greatly, to me there still is a little gap. And I'll say it in a political way. I think there's a gap in our political philosophy as we're moving forward on special districts. I totally agree with striking 165.0615 because it was a conversion process by a 40% referendum and all that. But there's still, in my mind, a need for the improvement district to be able to convert. I represent an improvement district that has 45,000 residents on 100 square miles. And the fact that it's been very difficult for them to be able to figure out a way to move towards incorporation, it does seem like there does need to be some ability to make it easier to file a local bill and give criteria, whether it's population size or whatever, to say that, okay, if you meet these criteria, you should be able to have a right to go to a vote. So with that, I just wanted to make that comment, and thank you again for this great bill.
Representative Valdez in debate.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And Representative, you know, I see where you're trying to go with this bill and what you're trying to do. And unfortunately, right now, I can't support the bill because I do not know what the unintended consequences will be for those special districts in my district and in the Tampa Bay area, specifically also the Swift Mud District. I'm really concerned about the unintended consequences. So for right now, I can't support the bill, but I understand what you're trying to do. I'm just really concerned for those special districts in my district that, well, provide a really good darn service. Thank you.
Any debate on the amendment? Just let me caution, we are on the amendment. So, and there will be a time to debate if we are to pass the amendment, there will be time to debate on the bill. So just in case anybody, on the amendment.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say thank you for the amendment, as many of the stakeholders were very concerned about the referendum. So thank you for hearing those perspectives.
Debate on the amendment. All right. Seeing no more debate, Representative Persons Malecki, you are recognized to close on your bill.
On
the amendment. I'm sorry. Thank you. Members, are there any objections to the amendment? Without objection, we'll show that the amendment is adopted. Now we are on the bill as amended. Sorry, got to get my script here. There are no additional amendments. Now we are in public testimony on the bill as amended. Gene Rogers, I think some of you. Gene, you signed up for both the amendment and the bill, but you're welcome to. I'm assuming you'll be in favor of the bill as amended. Okay, thank you. Not to put words in your mouth, but yeah, thank you. Christopher Lesser, Florida Mosquito Control Association, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think there was a little bit of confusion in the way we filled out that form, and that's probably my fault.
No worries.
I intended to testify or provide testimony on the amendment, but
okay.
I appreciate you allowing me to comment. My name is Chris Lesser. I'm the director of the Manatee County Mosquito Control District, which is an independent special taxing district within the state of Florida. You probably heard about our district as well as Sarasota County with our efforts to fight malaria. The first time malaria had been established with local transmission in the state of Florida in the last 20 years. That aside, today I'm representing the Florida Mosquito Control Association. We have about half a dozen members here in the audience today. And when I was driving up here yesterday, my presentation is a little bit different in preparation than what it was after I saw the amendment. I want to thank the sponsor. Thank you very much for listening to our concerns. The amended version is 100% supported by the Florida Mosquito Control Association. We're very happy with the results that we're seeing. That said, there are still a few provisions within the language provided, even within the amendment, that give us reasons for concern. And we're still debating on how these amendments may impact the mosquito control community and all the independent special taxing districts. We'll continue to work with the sponsor, thank you, as time goes along, and try to refine the bill to best suit all the special taxing districts, including mosquito control. That said, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Ranking Member Escamani, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you so much for being here. I'm over here, sorry. Yeah. So just quick question. I know the strike all changed it from 10 mil to 1 mil for mosquito control districts. Could you just walk us through how that would impact your association and maybe some of your locals?
Yeah, I don't want to speak out of turn because that is something that the Florida Mosquito Control Lobbyist is surveying all the mosquito control districts right now. I can say, and I'm not looking at him right now, but I hope he's not throwing daggers at my back, I think that 1 mil is probably going to be okay. I think 1 mil should be livable for most of us.
Thank you for your testimony this morning.
Thank you, sir.
Robert McDonald is waving in support. Thank you. David Cambreri is waving in support as well. Thank you for that. We appreciate it. That is all of the public testimony that we have, members. We are in debate now on the bill as amended. Is there debate on the bill as amended? Representative Holcomb, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson Smolicka, for chairing our local admin committee. And the hearings that you had where we got a lot of information on these special districts. And as a former county commissioner, I want to put the thought out there to how do you want your government structured? You have city elected council people. You have county elected folks. Why are you having special districts? Are those special districts in place with the ability to raise your taxes without the voters being a part of that process? So that is happening in some cases. What happens when special districts behave badly? I mean, Rep. Duggan just said, why do we have 67 counties? Why do we have 400 and some cities? Why do we have special districts? And if they're behaving badly as a special district, it's difficult to resolve that. We had that situation in Hernando County where the Hernando Beach Volunteer Fire Department wasn't reporting their numbers. They weren't doing the accounting that they were responsible for. So in the event there had been a serious call, which thank God there wasn't, the county fire department does not know who's coming from Hernando Beach Volunteer Fire Department to support. Now, in the case when you have a small fire department, and maybe they came about when the population size was really small, or the members were very enthusiastic and had a lot of participation, but 30 years down the road, we may not be there anymore. We may not be there with a population that's suitable for a special fire district, in one example. I will regret to inform you that the fire chief for Hernando Beach Volunteer Fire Department was arrested on live PD, thank you to Sheriff Naco, because of the improprieties that they had. And so we need to be very careful when we do a special district of any sort. Are we allowing these districts to raise our taxes without warrant? And are they doing the necessary things they are to follow the accounting and follow the reporting that they need to do? Thank you.
Members in debate. Ranking member, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, Chair, and thanks so much for making changes to the bill. I'm going to see it in state affairs as well, so I think I'm going to support it today with optimism because I do appreciate some of the accountability measures, but I'm going to talk to my locals before state affairs, and I'll bring up any questions I have for you, but the main concern I had was with the neighborhood districts, and we do have one in Orlando, and I do think that they're really important tools, and so I'd be curious to maybe dive more into that arena with you, but my locals are okay with it now, and so we'll see if anything changes in state affairs. So with that, I'm giving you a yes, Kamani, for now, but we'll definitely touch base before the next stop. Thank you, Chair.
Representative Tant, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to support this bill. I like, I think smart, efficient government works better when everything's accountable and transparent. And I think that some of the provisions of this bill are good for our communities. And I appreciate how far you've come from the first committee hearing. And I have confidence that you'll continue to work to address any of the outstanding issues. So I'm going to be up on this bill and appreciate you bringing it forward.
Members in debate. All right. Seeing none, Rosa. Oh, Representative Persons Milka, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members, for your questions, your comments, your feedback. I'm happy to meet with any and all of you to unpack this bill. I know there's a lot in there, and see how it might relate to any special districts in your backyard. You know, in my backyard, we have over 20 independent special districts in Lee County, so I'm very familiar with the districts, and I know how important this bill is to folks back home where I come from too. So I'm happy to continue working. I can't even list on a piece of paper all of the special districts that I've met with over the last few weeks, but I want to appreciate all of the information and their openness to share information with me as we try to make this a better bill. And with that, I would ask for your favorable support. Thank you.
Rosa, Representative Persons Malika, having closed on her bill, Rosa, please call the roll on House Bill 7013 and announce the vote.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan? Majority Whip Lamarca?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Costello?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Hillebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Rayner?
Yes.
Roach? Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Valdez?
No.
Yeas, 1 nay.
Members, by your vote, we will report House Bill 7013 favorably. Congratulations, Representative. Thank you for, I know that you've worked very hard on this. Congratulations on where it is at this point in time. Members, that is all of the business that we have today. Our next meeting is tentatively scheduled for Monday, January 22nd. That will be at noon. This concludes our committee agenda for today. Representative Holcomb moves we rise without objection, show the meeting adjourned.